Welcome to Mirror Easter. Last week, who was here last week? No one. Okay, a couple people. All right, so last week, the varsity team was up front, and the spectators were in the pew. All right, so this week, the spectators are up front leading the service. Are you all coming here the second Sunday of Easter? You're the varsity team. You show up the second Sunday of Easter where the substitute for the substitute is leading the service. Commitment. Thank you very much. That's right. Christy has risen. Is that blasphemy? I don't know. He's not here. That's okay. And we're all surprised. Just like, you know, the other guy. Okay. I know every one of you read the scripture before you came to church today. And you're probably waiting for a Doubting Thomas sermon. Woohoo! Those are great. I love those. Not having a church for a while, I'm always preaching second Sunday of Easter. In fact, I looked at the prayer book earlier. My marks from last year were still there, second Sunday of Easter. And if you want to look at that sermon, Cathedrals and Measles, on the website, extrachristy.com. Go look at that great sermon, Doubting Thomas. Woo, boy, good. Not today. This is a varsity group here. We're going to get a varsity sermon. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take that little bitty crazy scripture that's in the gospel that you probably just went over because I don't want to think about it, but we're going to think about it. You know the one? The one with your namesake, the St. Peter one. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. What in the world does that mean? Is there some kind of ginormous ATM? Can we log in on our web and say, I would like to deposit some sins and I'd like to withdraw some sins? What in the world are they talking about? Now, some people say, well, that means that, you know, if you've been gluttonous or wrath. Oh, let's read them off. I have my list here. Sermon notes. Pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, sloth. So some people say that if you have any of those, you can get them forgiven. But why in the world would we want to retain them? Okay, maybe gluttony. Rest. What is this? This is a strange scripture on a strange Sunday. Bizarro Mirror Easter Sunday, where the varsity people are in the pews and the spectators are up front. It only makes sense if you know that it is plural. That's right. It's not singular sins. It's not just you and me, itty bitty Ten Commandments, four spiritual laws, kind of individual. You and me, God, we're here. Checklist, I got whatever I want. It is plural. If you all, I used to translate the Greek, you all. I got in trouble in seminary all the time. I argued with them. But if y'all retain the sins, they are retained. And if y'all forgive the sins, they're forgiven. Okay, so it's a community thing. So we get along and get together like Presbyterians and have a committee and vote whether or not someone sinned. I don't know. That doesn't sound right either. But I want to tell you something. This is John. This is the Gospel of John. We even got a little bit of 1 John over there. And for John, that list of sins, not sin. Not at all. Sin is not individual moral failings. It is not characteristics. It is not individual behavior. That is not sin. Sin is when you don't do what God wants you to do. And that's your whole life. That's not just in moments of temptation in front of that cookie drawer or special magazine or website. I guess I should update, but for John, sin is corporate and communal. J.B. Phillips back in 1953 had a book that was really important when I was growing up called Your God is Too Small. And every now and then people rediscover it and blows their mind. But I want to tell you that it's not just your God is too small. Your sin is too small. We're not talking about litty bitty sins. This is the varsity group. We can handle it. We're not talking about individual sins on individual Sundays and individual days. We're talking about great corporate. And you know, this makes more sense for 1 John. Did you listen to 1 John? Was anybody else upset? You are all sinners? What kind of scripture is that for church? You are all sinners. And you say, well, no, I'm not. And it comes right back. And if you say you're not, you're a liar. Oh, I'm a sinner and a liar? How come we didn't all get up and leave? Were you listening? I'll make it more homely. You're racist. And if you say you're not racist, you're a liar. Well, we're getting some of the feeling back. I'm not racist. I don't say the N-word. I have not fired anyone on the basis of their race or creed or color. I don't have any slaves. I'm not racist. We're back to that, are we? Back to the individual understanding of sin. Back to the me and God and nobody else, when it's plural, when it's corporate, when it's John, who says corporate, when things aren't right in the world, that is the sin, not what any individual may do. I had a good childhood and upbringing. Middle class life, we didn't want for anything, had a big house, even got air conditioning when it came in. That was a big deal. My parents both had college educations and good jobs. Their parents were able to work in Akron, Ohio in the rubber companies and got good pay and good money so that they could send their kids to college so that I could have a better life. Well, what's that about racism, Christy? My grandpa, Christy Ramsey, had to join the Ku Klux Klan to get a job at Goodyear. Because only the Klan members worked in the rubber company. You see the difference between I'm a racist and racism? I'm a benefit of that. I'm benefiting of racism. That got my family out of the West Virginia hollows and into colleges and nice middle class home in the Highland Square area of Akron. See the difference? I'd be lying if I said I didn't benefit from racism. John knew that. Now you do. What are we to do? What are we to do? We've got to quit thinking that sin is something we do in private. And it's just between me and God, or go in a box and confess it. And we're good to go. Because sin's communal, sin's in society. Let's talk about my parents again. My parents both went to college. Books cost $10 for their semester. $10. They went to a state school, a university school. Remember back then when the governments actually paid for higher education, actually supported higher education? It's flipped now. Now the individuals have to pay and not the corporate. And now because it's an individual choice, they have to compete for students and get those out-of-state tuition bucks in there. So they have to put the rock climbing walls and have the sous chef and the other chefs in the back and raise their tuition so they can compete against the market pressures on that, because the government says we don't have the money for higher education. And yet people say, I paid for my college education. Why don't those young people pay their loans? You didn't pay for it. The state paid for it. The government paid for it. Our taxes paid for it. But that has changed and flipped around. 18-year-olds, we do not allow them to choose to have an adult beverage because their minds just aren't all ready for it. They can't handle that kind of responsibility of getting a beer. But we let them sign up for a $100,000 debt. That's going to haunt them the rest of their lives. I'd rather risk a beer on them. You hear the sin? In my tradition, every Sunday we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It gets really quiet. About half the congregation drops off at that point. Come back for the next one. Corporate sin. That's not God's will. John would say, there's sin right there. Got racism, we got sin. What about that Savior guy we follow? Remember him? Came back from the dead last week. Big news. Remember? You know, he was born in a homeless shelter. There was no room for him. There was no inn. There was no place for him. Public camping was outlawed back then. He was born homeless. It wasn't too much longer. He had to be a political refugee fleeing across borders against a government that wanted to kill him. Have you read that in the paper lately? Have you seen it on the web? Got to update my notes. There's sin. That is the sin. And we got a choice. Now you can see the choice. Before it made no sense, but now you see. Yeah, we have a choice whether we're going to fund public education or put our kids into generations of debt. We have a choice. We can retrain that or we, what, forgive debt? It's our choice. Okay, you forgive them. That's the way it's going to be. It's up to you, Christians. You can have homeless or you can house people. What kind of society have we constructed just in my lifetime that we have revised the tax code and the way we reward people for the work, and that it used to be when they grew up, if you were making $1 million, every dollar you made at that top end was a 90 cents to the government, 90% to the government. We had, oh, that's wrong, take it on down. Now we got millionaires that can go to outer space while we got millions that don't have space to live. For the night. If you forgive the sins of any, or if you retain them, they will be retained. So when you look around and you say, why did God do this? Why God? Jesus told us. Second Sunday of Easter, varsity team was there, but not everybody. It wasn't a packed church. He said, you know, it's up to you. You got a choice. You can retain sins or you can forgive them. Now, some people listened to him. Some people decided that we ought to try this. You know, Jesus. We heard about it today. People sold their houses, brought their money, and gave it to those that need. 100% capital gains tax? Right there in the Bible. Right there in the Bible. But I already paid the taxes on the house. If we read a little bit more in the scriptures, we find out that that impressed the community so much. The community grew and grew. People looked at them and said, wow. Those Christians have got something going on there. Look at how they take care of each other. Look at how much they love each other. Look at how much there's no one in need among them. What kind of craziness is this? It's Christianity. That's what it is. You know, when it was time to get us to straighten around, God didn't send us down a checklist. He didn't send us down the Ten Commandments and saying, don't do these things and you're cool. He doesn't send down and saying that these are the seven deadly sins. Don't do them and you're kidding with me. He even sent down four spiritual laws. He didn't send down the sinner's prayer. None of that stuff. Zero paperwork. Obviously, I'm afraid God is not a Presbyterian. Or there would have been more paperwork involved. He sent a person. He sent a person to show us how to live. How we should live with one another. Did you know that Jesus healed people with pre-existing conditions? How un-American! He didn't even ask if they were employed and if it was an employer's plan or not. He healed people that didn't deserve healing. He healed the Roman servant, the occupier. Because guess what? It's not God's will that anyone suffers from lack of health care. And that's up to us. We can retain that sin in our society, or we can get rid of it. Other countries have. Are we worse than other countries? I think we're better than everybody, because I was born here, so obviously we're best. Why can't we get this done? You know, we've just gotten used to children dying in massacres by guns, by mass shootings. Remember when we used to be all upset and we prayed at church and we stopped church and we had special prayers and services? And now it's just another one. Because we decided to retain that sin and not get rid of it. Again, other countries have. Other countries had one mass shooting and said, that's it. Everybody brings in your gun. He goes, well, yeah, of course. You know, because why? Because guns don't die. Children do. And they brought them all in, turned them all in. Said, no, we're not going to retain that sin. We're going to forgive it. We can do it. Or we could pray, oh, please, mental health people, not be mental healthy. And the little individual sins on individual people who, why doesn't they should done? Uh-uh. That's not for this varsity group. We can take on the big game. We can say we're going to get rid of sin. We're going to make it safe. To go to the mall. Go to school. Without being in a fortress. It's our choice. Jesus said that. He came back from the dead to tell us that. We should listen. That wasn't an easy trip. I think it was something important he had to tell us. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the sin thing. I got to go back. And he comes back and he tells us, and what do we do? I had lustful thoughts. I had an extra cookie. I murder, okay, that one, don't murder people. That's a bad thing. But maybe not make it so easy to murder people. He came as a person, and people kept wanting lists from him and rules, and he kept showing them how to live over and over again. Remember that woman caught in adultery? That's in John 2, I'll go over there. Remember, they brought her. This woman was caught in adultery, okay, Time out. Caught in adultery. Where's the other person? I don't know. I don't want to get graphic. Family show, but it should be two people. So here's a woman caught in adultery, and with some reason, the other person's gone. Don't know what happened there. But here it is. Let's stone her. Let the one without sin throw the first stone. What does that mean about our punishment system, our penal code? What does that mean about cash bail? Why do we have cash bail? Only rich people get to get out of jail. Poor people, you go rot in jail and we'll get around to you someday. It doesn't have to be that way. Some states have abandoned cash jail, and guess what? Everything's fine. Most people show up. Same as much as cash bail. But think of this not in terms of politics, but in terms of retaining sin and forgiving sin. And another good thing about this, you know, with the individual sin, you can feel bad about yourself and be all upset and say, oh, I'm just a weak person. I'm not a good person. I'm a sinful person. I've done these sins. But if you're understanding sin as like understanding that if you're a fish, you're wet. The same with without sin is like a fish saying, what's water? I'm not wet. It's all around us. At one time, it is comforting, and the other time, it's also challenging. And we're just the people to meet that challenge. Imagine, if you would, if people would look to us and say, look at those Christians, how they take care of people. Look how they're doing nights off the streets. Look how they're doing that. Why can't we be more like that as a society and say, no, no one sleeps outside. No. And I'm not telling just pass a law saying it's against the law to sleep outside. And it's fair because you know what? Rich and poor are both banned from sleeping under the bridge. Fairness, American style. What do? Acts gave us a taste. Acts gave us a taste of what it meant to care and love one another. Imagine people giving up their homes to make sure everybody had enough to eat and a place to sleep and a place to live. Imagine that. It can be that way. We're so wrapped up in the sin we can't even see it. Like that fish in the water doesn't realize they're wet. Like me, who doesn't understand that my privileges comes from racism going back generations, when only white people were allowed to have good jobs. But we don't have to stay that way. We can't give up. Jesus Christ offers us a way out. We celebrate that in communion. We say that the difference of sin, that the way to get out of sin is to live a different way of life. To live in community. To live in love. Christ up on the cross, he looks down, he sees his mother Mary, and he sees who's going to be destitute, and he sees the beloved disciples, and he said, behold your mother, mother, behold your son. What does that say about how we take care of the poor and elderly in our country? It says we take care of them like they're our own because they are. Way back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 19:33, it's a scripture. Look it up. It's actually in the Bible. It says, you shall treat the foreigner in your soil as if they were native born. Right there in scriptures, 19:33. If you don't like a little rule thing and you want a story, read Ruth. Your people shall be my people. Where you go, I will go. What does that say about immigration and refugees? Says a lot about what you believe is the privileges and rights of the native born. There's responsibilities, not just rights. Jesus comes to tell us how we live, and only by living in love, only living in community, can we ever hope to get out of the sin that we all swim in. that's been forced down to us by the institutions and the generations and the choices of others throughout time and space that's made our society the way we are, that have chosen to retain sin instead of to let them go. But we don't have to do that. We can be different. There is a TV series, Fargo. I beg you, do not watch it. It is terribly awful, violent. Don't do that. I love it. And this, I'm going to spoil the ending for you. Because I would love if this was a spoiler for our society too. We have the killer, the one that has been pursuing her all the whole series, the one that kills and maims without remorse or hesitation, with efficiency so cold that it will give you nightmares, comes in to her house to kill her. And she invites him to dinner.
But the food was not food.
What was it?
It was sin. The sins of the rich. Greed, envy, disgust. They were bitter. The sins. But he ate them all.
Something.